Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Joined this morning by our live blog directors, Jamie Jors and John Rahor. We're glad to have you listening. Talking some Packers football today. Got some NFL draft talk on tap. And that's what we'll begin to here very shortly. We've got Tony Pauline of Sports Illustrated and DraftInsider.com joining us for an interview where we talk about several NFL draft prospects, some risers and fallers. And let's get right to it. We got Tony Pauline. He couldn't join us live, but we've got a pre-recorded interview with Tony. He was gracious enough to grant us an interview. And here it is. Enjoy. Joining us right now is Tony Pauline of Sports Illustrated and DraftInsider.net. Tony, how are you doing today?
I'm okay. Getting ready for the draft in about 2+ weeks' time. Actually, 2 weeks' time, I guess, from today it is.
Yes, not too long at all. Getting right to it, you know, being from Wisconsin, we kind of take a Packers slant with everything. And the Packers drafted one time one of the biggest draft sliders in NFL history when Aaron Rodgers went all the way from potential number one overall to number 24. Who might be this year's slider, a player that expected to go higher but might fall to the Packers at number 28?
Fall to the Packers, I don't know that any player is really going to fall that low. I mean, Courtney Upshaw of Alabama, there's an outside shot. He could make it into the bottom third of round one. I don't know that he's going to make it to the Packers. Riley Reiff of Iowa, the offensive tackle, is another guy who was at one time projected as a top 10 pick. He could still go top 12, but there's a large variety of opinion about him in the league. There were some people that think he cannot play tackle in the NFL, and he's going to be a late first-round guard. So those are the two names to remember on both sides of the ball.
On the flip side, who's this year's riser? Who's a player or two that's going to go in the first round that nobody expected to?
I don't think you're going to have any crazy first-round picks, but I do think guys like Stephen Gilmore of South Carolina is a guy who, coming into the process, many people thought was a fringe first-round pick, and he's going to end up in the top 20 right now. He's a big cornerback with terrific size, speed, and he's got a lot of cover abilities. Wouldn't surprise me if Gilmore is the second cornerback taken before Drake Kirkpatrick of Alabama.
I took a look at your mock draft at draftinsider.net, and you have the Packers taking Illinois' Whitney Mercilus. What do you make of him, and can he make that transition to outside linebacker at the next level?
Yeah, that mock is a little bit old. I usually do a few mocks, just do them right before the draft, but we put one up there earlier. I think he's a natural pass rusher. He's a guy that makes a lot of plays behind the line of scrimmage. I think he would be good value for the Packers. I think he fits a need. I think he has the skill to fit the need that they're looking for. Can he make the transition to outside linebacker? Yes, if you start his responsibilities at a minimal pass rushing and then feed him more responsibilities as far as making plays in space and coverage duties and things like that. There were some questions about Mercilus' game, which is why I think he's probably going to be a bottom half of round one, a bottom third of round one guy. Questions about, is he a one-year wonder? Is he a guy that works real hard? But still, guys that can get behind the line of scrimmage and make plays, there's always a premium put on them on draft day.
The Packers have a need for a backup quarterback. Matt Flynn is now gone to the Seattle Seahawks. Obviously, they're not going to select Andrew Luck or Robert Griffin, but who do you think might be some mid-round quarterbacks that could be of interest to the Packers?
Well, I mean, first you'd probably have to look at Russell Wilson. I don't, because of the fact that he's from the state. He played at Wisconsin last year, did a terrific job, and I think he's going to be a career backup. He also fits the scheme, of a quarterback that's very good in motion rather than a traditional pocket passer. He's never going to be anything other than a backup quarterback. That's someone they may want to look to. Other guys, I think that they would like a Ryan Lindley of San Diego State. Again, a guy that's not a classic pocket passer, a guy that you can move around. He can throw on the move and make plays for you. Nick Foles of Arizona would be a good last day choice. He's a guy who was highly rated, or people thought was, had high opinions of him at one point in time, but his game really never progressed. I think those three guys are names to remember.
We recently published an article at Cheesehead TV about Utah State running back Robert Turbin, and I just wanted to get some of your thoughts on him.
Big downhill type of guy. I think he's the type of player that needs to play in a power running game. He's going to have difficulty adjusting to a complex blocking scheme. At times he does too much thinking rather than running. But when he gets it in motion, he's tough to stop. He's like a runaway locomotive. A guy that can be his own blocker, a guy that picks up a lot of yardage off of initial contact. He can move the pile, pick up that tough short yardage for you. He's not a real creative runner, does have an injury history. Could he be a feature runner at the next level? Possibly in the right type of system, in a Pittsburgh Steeler type of system. But I think if you draft him in, say, the third round area, you're going to have a guy that, can adequately come in, carry the ball for you 10 to 15 times a game, and someone that will do a good job for you on those third and twos when you want to hand the ball off.
Finally here, who is Amini Silatolu of Midwestern State? He's a small school guy that seems to have some buzz around him.
Yeah, a lot of buzz. Who is he? Well, I think you kind of described him quite well. He was a left tackle at Midwestern State. He's an athletic guy. He's big. He's strong. He moves well on his feet. He's projected to guard at the next level, I think justifiably so. There are some people that think he can play right tackle. Don't know that he's got the great hitting his knees and blocking with leverage, do a better job getting his hands into defenders and really improve his playing balance. But all the underlying skills are there for him to be a productive starter at the next level in time. Building a buzz, there are a few who think he could sneak into the final frames of round one. I'm not of that opinion. I think he's probably, a guy that's best from pick 38 to 45.
Tony, we're getting really excited here about the NFL draft and appreciate you joining us, and take care.
Thanks for having me.
Tony Pauline of Sports Illustrated and DraftInsider.com. Very happy to have him joining us, so that's great. Some interesting things said about several players, several things that Tony mentioned that caught my attention, at least. And, we talked about, we can elaborate a little bit here on the players he just mentioned. There's not a whole lot going on right now in the world of the Green Bay Packers. So, great time to be talking NFL draft. The off-season program starts on Monday. We'll have a little bit to talk about then. But even then, it's for 2 weeks, it's strength and conditioning. that's all it is. They're hitting the weight room. that's all it is for the next 2 weeks for the Packers. So things are going to kind of snowball a little bit with the Packers. But at least it's starting. At least it's starting next week. But in the interim, let's talk about what Tony did. His draft day fallers, first of all. We mentioned Aaron Rodgers, perhaps the most famous draft slider of all time, the guy who fell further than anybody thought he would, and the Packers, hit a gold mine with him. But, two guys he mentioned, Riley Reiff of Iowa and Courtney Upshaw of Alabama. And of course, everybody knows the Packers have a need at outside linebacker, the 3-4 outside linebacker. Courtney Upshaw, a guy who many thought at one time, was a top 15 NFL draft choice, and all of a sudden, he's sliding a little bit in mock drafts around the internet, the kind of guy who didn't really put together a very good pro day workout, kind of has some average numbers. Now, the film shows he's a pretty good player. I mean, you watch Alabama play, there's a reason Alabama had such a good defense this past year, and Courtney Upshaw was part of it. He's a guy that can rush the passer. Is he the ideal 3-4 outside linebacker? That's kind of the question. Some people think he actually should be playing inside linebacker. Very surprisingly, you know, for a guy who kind of played defensive end, you know, kind of a hybrid type of guy in college. So kind of interesting about Upshaw, you know, perhaps sliding into the Packers range at number 28. I personally don't think he gets that far, but it's possible. It's not out of the realm of possibility. Just talked to Chad Reuter last week here on the show. And Chad had mentioned that, you know, in his mock draft, Chad works for NFL.com now, he had the Packers at number 28, taking Shea McClellan one choice ahead of Courtney Upshaw. So that just shows you how where people are kind of projecting Upshaw to go and how he's kind of been falling a little bit among projections. Now, projections don't mean anything. You know, it only matters what happens during the NFL draft 2 weeks from now. You know, the start, less than 2 weeks. But yeah, it's just it's unfathomable to me almost, you know, how much Upshaw is dropping. I just remembered going back to the NFL Combine thinking this guy's out of the Packers' reach. And now he could be a possibility. But do the Packers want him? And do the Packers want him ahead of, you know, somebody like Shea McClellan that might be available? Given your choice between the two, who would you rather have? Shea McClellan or Courtney Upshaw? And the choices aren't limited to them. So very interesting. Very, very interesting. John Rahor says on the our live blog, if Ted does not pick an outside linebacker at 28, I might lose my mind, seriously. Comment from Irish Cheesehead, Chad Reuter's latest mock now is the Packers taking Upshaw. Very interesting. So there you go about Courtney Upshaw, the next member of the Green Bay Packers. You know, just on a side note here, the NFL announced yesterday that 26 players will be attending the NFL draft in person. And there were 4 players from Alabama invited who are going to be there. And several of them are in play to be drafted by the Packers. You know, they fit Packers' positions of need, at least. Not that the Packers draft for need, but there's still guys who could possibly come off the board around number 28. And that included Courtney Upshaw, Dante Hightower, and safety Mark Barron. So, possible when draft day comes around, they'll be right there on stage putting on the Packers hat and holding up the jersey, see him on TV. Maybe. No guarantees here, but just passing along that information. Could be talking about a future Packer here. Another draft slider Tony mentioned, Riley Reiff, offensive tackle from the University of Iowa, has connections to another Iowa offensive lineman who did a little slide of his own in the draft. You remember that 2 years ago? Brian Bulaga kind of fell to the Packers. Seriously, a lot of people thought Bulaga would go earlier. Not that he had some huge slide by any means. Didn't drop as far as, perhaps Aaron Rodgers did. But I think, you know, Brian Bulaga maybe went as far as 10 picks later than people thought he might have, thought he could have. So, you know, University of Iowa product, they're you know, known for their, developing offensive linemen. Head coach Kirk Ferentz, former offensive line coach there, does a good job at developing offensive linemen. Iowa has 3 offensive line prospects in this year's draft. They've got Adam Geddes, a guard, and Marcus Zavec. Yeah, it's a nice Polish name I can't even attempt to pronounce right now. his name, I think, is Marcus Zavicius, something like that. And my apologies, I'm sure I am not pronouncing it anywhere near the way it's supposed to be. But yeah, so Iowa, once again, pumping out the offensive linemen. I will he fall as far as the Packers? Again, I don't think so. Would you know, if the Packers go best player available, would he be too good to pass up Riley Reiff, pairing him with Brian Bulaga? Very interesting thought. Not sure it comes to fruition, but an interesting thought. Tony talked about his draft day risers, and he mentioned Stephon Gilmore, cornerback from South Carolina, a guy I love. Talked about many times on this show. Many times. And by the way, if you want to call into the show, phone number 347-352-0154. If you want to do a little NFL draft talk, feel free to call in. And we can debate a little bit about what the Packers will be doing. But getting back to Stephon Gilmore here. I think more so, he's a draft day riser compared to what he was maybe around the combine. You know, from about February onward. I think ever since the combine, he ran a really good 40 time there. You know, he was, in the 4.4 range? And surprisingly, you know, some of the fastest guys in the draft, you know, expected usually to be cornerbacks. If you go back and look at the NFL combine times, the 40 times from the combine, and just the players who ran the fastest, not a lot of cornerbacks in there. You know, it's just not a fast crop of rookie cornerbacks this year. Not to say they're not good players, but they didn't really time really well at the combine. Not a lot of 4.4s and below, you know. But I mean, you know, of course, 4.4 and below is elite time. But I guess I just expected more cornerbacks to be there. I mean, you know, there was a lot of wide receivers, running backs, you know, things like that, you know, that kind of fall into that category as well. Of course, cornerback Josh Robinson of Central Florida, you know, ran the fastest 40 time at the combine this year. Interesting, though, he's only about 5'10". And, you know, if you go back through history, I'm not sure the Packers have ever drafted a cornerback shorter than 5'11". You know, there's a first for everything, but that tends to be something that the Packers shy away from. Cornerbacks under 5'11". So, not a real good chance that happens. The odds are against it, at least. Mark says on the live blog, Gilmore can play safety. I personally think that would be a waste of Stephon Gilmore's talent. I believe he can do it too. I think he could. I just don't know why you do that with a talent like Stephon Gilmore. I think you want to keep a guy like him at cornerback. That's all I'm saying. I believe he has the talent to play safety. I just don't think you should put him there. Stephon Gilmore to me is Charles Woodson Jr. You know, certainly he's not in that category. I mean, Charles Woodson's, in my opinion, going to be an NFL Hall of Famer, and that's far down the road for Stephon Gilmore. But I mean, he has some of the same qualities. Just a really tough guy. That's what I see and I like from Stephon Gilmore. We saw what am I getting at here? We saw. I kind of lost my train of thought here with Charles Woodson and the comparison to Stephon Gilmore, that I see a lot of Gilmore in Woodson, you know, a lot of Woodson and Gilmore, I guess you could say. I see on the live blog here, just catching my attention, Ahmad Carroll was 5'10". And if I'm correct, Ahmad Carroll wasn't drafted by Ted Thompson. That was before the Ted Thompson regime. And maybe that's part of the reason the Packers shy away from cornerbacks that are, you know, a little bit short. You know, maybe that kind of influenced Ted Thompson perhaps a little bit. Interesting. Very interesting. So, yeah, I mean, the Packers trying to get these guys who are 5'11 and above, you know, because they're covering guys that are, you know, tall, that are 6 feet and above. You know, you look at Kelvin Johnson in Detroit. What is he, 6'5"? That's tough to cover. A good leaping ability can help make up for that. That's what Tremont Williams has. And, you know, I think part of the reason when the Packers signed him, why they liked him so much, probably. You know, got a very high vertical. Good athlete, Tremont Williams. And that's why he can, you know, stack up with Kelvin Johnson at times. Tremont Williams isn't going to win every battle with him. But you saw last year in the Thanksgiving Day matchup against Detroit, Tremont Williams holding his own. John Rahorse says 6'5 plays like he's 7 feet. No doubt. Kelvin Johnson is good. He's got all my respect in the world. You know, he's... How can you not like Kelvin Johnson? Good guy, too. You know? Speaking of good guys, and, you know, how about the video circulating right now of Rob Gronkowski and how you're kind of not being a good guy or saying stupid things, kind of the opposite of a Kelvin Johnson. Rob Gronkowski, Patriot for the new tight end for the New England Patriots. There's a YouTube video circulating today. It says he would F Tim Tebow to take away his virginity. It's very odd. I just came across this minutes before the show started today on Twitter. Took a quick peek at it just because I was flabbergasted by what he said. maybe if anybody out there could chime in on the live blog, if you saw it, and it's circulating all over the internet right now, it's not going to be hard to find, but you know, where was he when he said this? It looked like he was being interviewed by a high school girl. I don't know if he was. She looked high school age, and I could certainly be wrong. But he looked like he was being interviewed by a high school girl on a stage in front of maybe a high school audience. Is that really the comment you want to make in front of a high school audience? Kyle Cousineau says, I have no issues with Rob Gronkowski's comments. I find it absolutely hilarious. I don't know. It took me back, that's for sure. Hey, was it really necessary? Mark says, Gronk being Gronk. Yeah, that seems to be the case. Rob Gronkowski certainly doesn't seem to have much of a filter. I had no problem with him dancing after the Super Bowl. I'll tell you that. The game's over. You know, if he was doing that the night before the Super Bowl, I'd have an issue with that. But he did it the night after the Super Bowl. You know, there's video of him dancing with some family, having a good time. You know, there's nothing he can do to change the outcome of the game. You know, that's the way I feel about it. You know, certainly, I think he's had teammates come out and say that wasn't a very good thing to do, or they were offended by it. Well, so be it. This video about wanting to F Tim Tebow, I don't know. I wouldn't have said it if I were Rob Gronkowski. I'm not, obviously. But to each their own. Kyle doesn't have a problem with him saying it. I do. Oh, well. I kind of lost track here. Where were we here? How did we get on this topic? We were talking about the NFL draft. Somehow got talking about Kelvin Johnson and being a character person. And kind of got to the opposite of character, I suppose. But let's get back to some NFL draft talk here. Here on Railbird Central. You know, we talked about the risers and fallers. And then we talked about, with Tony Pauline, quarterbacks. The Packers have a need to find a backup quarterback. At some point in the draft, it's pretty likely, I think, they'll draft one. Obviously, they're not going to be drafting one of the top guys, Andrew Luck, Robert Griffin, Ryan Tannehill. But anywhere from the second round on, I would think, there's a possibility of the Packers taking quarterback. You know, it kind of interesting. If Kirk Cousins was still there in the second, and I'm not sure he will be, but would you take Kirk Cousins in the second? Would you invest a second-round draft choice in a quarterback? That's a big investment, you know, when you could be drafting another position that could help. And again, I mean, maybe it's beside the point here about trying to think about what was happening. Kyle Kuzno on the live blog says, Pigskin Paul said last night in Cheesehead Radio he thought Russell Wilson was a seventh-round prospect at best. Yeah, kind of interesting what people think of Russell Wilson. There seems to be very, you know, differing opinions about Russell Wilson's ability and where he may go in the draft. I've seen as high as third round and as low as seventh round. And, you know, who doesn't like Russell Wilson? He's a nice guy, character guy, you know, talking about character again. You know, the thing, of course, everybody brings up is the height. Like 5'11 on a good day. It was interesting. I think he measured in at like 5'10 and 7/8 at the combine. But when Wisconsin's pro day came around, he came in at 5'11. I mean, we're just talking about an eighth of an inch here. But, you know, we saw the report one time. There's only one quarterback in the entire NFL. In the entire NFL who's under 6 feet. You know, not just talking about starters here, or about all, you know, every roster in the NFL practically has, you know, three quarterbacks on in the offseason when the roster is 80 people. You know, even more than that sometimes. You know, only one under 6 feet. So again, you know, talk about odds. The odds are against Russell Wilson. You know, there's 100 quarterbacks in the NFL. One of them under 6 feet. 1%. You know, I don't know the exact number off the top of my head, but it's got to be somewhere around that. 100 quarterbacks. 1% under 6 feet. You know, it's just hard to overcome that. It just professional quarterbacks aren't short, and Russell Wilson is. And I don't think you can make a large investment in Russell Wilson. I think he's draftable material. I like the guy. He does fantastic with what he's been given. You know, a short stature. Interestingly, if you look at his hand size, it's actually larger than a lot of other quarterbacks. I think I saw 10 7/8, something like that, his hand size. And that's kind of an underrated measurement for quarterbacks. Everybody talks about the height. When you're playing in cold weather, a lot of times you need a guy who has a hand that is over 10 inches. And Russell Wilson has that. He has 10 7/8, I think. And that's larger than a lot of other quarterbacks. Larger than Robert Griffin, if I'm correct. So, you know, he does have that going for him. You know, I just think he's a mid-rounder. If I were the Packers, I would invest around a fifth rounder in Russell Wilson. Or so. I think that's where he should come off the board. If I were, you know, the GM of any team. Fifth rounder or so. I think three is a little high. I think seven's a little low. So, you know, that's my opinion. Take it for what it's worth. But, you know, the Packers will be, you know, investing, I think, a draft choice in a quarterback at some point. You know, he mentioned Ryan Lindley of San Diego State. You know, these are guys who might be available. Chandler Harnisch of Northern Illinois, another guy. I personally like Chandler Harnisch a lot. I don't think he's ready to be an NFL quarterback in year one. I think there's a large, large upside with Chandler Harnisch. He's so athletic. So athletic. You know, I just think you give him a year or two in Mike McCarthy's quarterback camp, that's going to be a guy who's going to be a starter in the NFL at some point. Would be perfect if he could get as much seasoning as a Matt Flynn, like 4 years in, and then become a starter. I suppose you think Aaron Rodgers is still the Packers' starting quarterback in 4 years, and you know, maybe a guy who gets traded along the line as well. But still, you like that when you can turn a seventh rounder into a, you know, a third rounder as far as compensatory draft choices go, when the Packers get compensated for Matt Flynn here. Aaron Korp of Richmond, another late round possible draft choice, former USC product. Just some names off the top of my head, guys I'm thinking about, guys I like, could be available to the Packers. But anyhow, it's past 9 o'clock a.m. here on Railbird Central. It's Friday. We'll be back on Monday. Once again, talking more NFL draft. And finally, the Packers offseason program getting started on Monday in Green Bay. So we'll actually have something to talk about the weight room, the strength and conditioning program starting finally. And, you know, less than 2 weeks now till the NFL draft. So really exciting time. And, you know, take care, everyone. On behalf of John Rahor, on behalf of Jamie Jorz, I'm Brian Kirivu. Thanks for listening. I leave you today with a song called Ocean Billy by Umphreys McGee on Cy Fidelity Records. And we'll see you Monday, everyone. Go Pack, go. See ya.